This episode of the PHP Architect Podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Website Spark, a new program for web pros to help them grow their business and get access to Microsoft's tools for nearly no cost. Learn more and sign up for Website Spark at WebsiteSpark.com.
Welcome to the first episode for 2010 of our wonderful podcast. Here with me tonight are our very own Keith Casey. Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Wonderful. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We also have Cal Evans, who we don't seem to be able to get rid of. Hey, Cal.
Hi, Marco.
How's it going over there?
It is wonderful, and it is wonderful simply because this is the first time I have been on this podcast that it wasn't 3 freaking o'clock in the morning, and it's just wonderful to be here. Other than that, it's freezing cold outside in Nashville.
Freezing cold?
Yeah, it's like 20, 25 degrees outside. We're not used to this.
That's just wrong. That's wimp. Just wrong. Yeah, wimp. That's right. Our special guest tonight is Matthew Weirafini. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Marco.
Welcome to our podcast. I think this is the first time you're actually in the podcast since we started doing it again, right?
It is.
So maybe
all hail the Supreme Allied Commander.
There he goes. All right, I'm going to have to restrain you. Are we? No, I just need to know. Are we going to have to restrain you?
No. I'll be okay.
Good.
Liar.
Liar. Matthew, so this is the first time that you're on the podcast, although you're probably very well known in the community. Why don't you introduce yourself very briefly?
Well, I'm just this guy, you know, and I code a little bit of PHP here and there, mainly on Zen Framework. So yeah, I'm sure most of you have actually probably seen my name around associated with Zen Framework, and I'm project lead on there currently. And I get to work remotely from Vermont, which is a lot of fun, and fly around the world to conferences like, you know, in Chicago and stuff like that.
Right. So to put things in perspective, Cal is now back in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's complaining about, 20 degrees?
Yeah, 20, 25 degrees here. It's supposed to snow tonight. They've already started closing schools because it's supposed to snow.
Okay. So Cal is down there and he's complaining because it might snow. I'm up here in Toronto, Canada, and it's been snowing for 3 days in a row. And the only reason why I'm not complaining is that in 2 days I'm actually leaving and I'm going to Florida for a week. Matthew is in Vermont. Matthew, what's the snow situation over there?
Oh, we got 3 feet of snow from New Year's Day until the 3rd, which was on Sunday. And we've continued to get about an inch of snow every day since then. So we're snowed in, basically. So
perspective is everything, as usual. Also, for the first time ever, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but for the first time ever, and just to prove that he actually exists, I thought you should know that our very good business partner and friend, Arbi Arzumani, is on the show tonight.
Hello.
There he is. He's
yay,
right
Arbi.
Next to me. Unfortunately, nobody else can see him, so maybe they still think that he's a figment of my imagination and I just suffer from multiple personalities disorder. But I assure you, he actually exists and he's right next to me.
I got him on video from tech last year, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
I am not a bot.
I'm not a bot. Well, welcome, Arbi. It's a pleasure to have finally managed to drag you down here in the dungeon with me.
Good to be here.
Well, happy new year to everyone. This is, as I mentioned, the very first show of 2010 or 2010, depending on how you want to pronounce that. We have a pretty packed show tonight, so let's get started. And since it's 2010 and we're very forward-thinking people, we thought we should start with a look back at 2009. 2009 was a bear of a year. Can't speak for everybody else, but I hated 2009 with a vengeance. But it's also been a very interesting year for PHP. Lots of things going on. 5.3 came out, which means that finally namespaces have been settled after, I don't know, what probably feels like 50 years of discussions. It means that the whole year of conferences went by, and I think that's where we should start our look back. If I remember correctly, one of the very first major conferences of the year was PHP Quebec, which took place, was it last March or February? Does anybody remember?
Last March.
Was actually, I believe the only one of us who was at PHP Quebec this year was Matthew. So why don't you give us a rundown of that conference and what it was like?
It was my first time at PHP Quebec, and I was surprised really at the size of it. I didn't realize it was as big as it was. They are really well organized, and in large part, going to give a shout out to Anna Felina, who is one of the conference organizers. One of the things I saw there that was simply amazing as a speaker was she was collating all those speaker survey slips that they give you at the door and take back from you as you leave. She was collating all that data within an hour of receiving it and then getting it back to the speakers. So we quite often had usable data right off the bat. And this was really before Joindin took off. And so it was really, really useful to have at the time. So it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of interesting things going on there. It was very tech-oriented. And personally, I was able to sit down with Fabien Potencier of the Symphony Project and spend a lot of time with him and also with Derek Wethams talking about Easy Components. And we were really getting a handle on what 5.3 might be like and getting some ideas and just kind of sharing them around. It seems like the one thing that's very different about that particular venue is for speakers, there seems to be more of a separation between speakers and participants, which I wasn't really expecting. And so I didn't get as much interaction with the various participants at the conference, but it was really useful for me as a framework developer to be able to speak to these people.
Was there a big barrier in terms of language?
Not really. They did have a few sessions that were marked French only, but it's a very international conference, so this English is spoken quite a lot. The actually primary barrier was in the evening when they arranged some of the events. If you didn't speak French when you were going out to the restaurants and stuff, it could sometimes be interesting being up in Montreal, but most of the time it wasn't that much of an issue, and there are always French speakers around from the conference who were more than willing to help out.
Interesting. So fast forward from PHP Quebec in March all the way to May, when our own PHP Tech took place once again in Chicago. Obviously, I was there, but since I was one of the organizers, I have no idea what actually happened. On the other hand, Keith, this was your first time organizing the AntCon at PHP Tech. How did it go?
Actually, it was my first time at Tech, period. So you're kind of – it was surprising you put me in charge of anything. But the UnCon was – it was a little different than how we'd normally do it at, like, ZenCon, and it was running after hours. So that made it a little bit different. It made it hard in some ways just because we were competing against, like, things like having dinner. But in some ways it made it sort of more uncon-y. It made it a little more sort of informal and more relaxed. And actually one of the more successful parts of it was the hackathon, which was a blast. Matthew, you participated in that, didn't you?
Let me unmute myself. Yes, I did participate in that. We did a small bug hunt for Zen Framework, and it was mainly a few people who weren't familiar with it. I showed them kind of the ropes of how to work with the issue tracker and formulate good patches. I've actually got one of the guys from that, Mike Willibanks, participated in that, and he's continued to contribute patches every month, actually, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there was also a group that was doing the PHP Test Fest. So we had, I think, 17 tests written in 3 hours, which doesn't seem like a whole lot, except for the fact that most of the people weren't set up to write unit tests for PHP prior to that. So it was kind of cool. I think overall the people at Tech placed like in the top 5 groups that wrote tests this year. So it's kind of cool.
Well, I have to say from my perspective that last year, and I can finally say last year's PHP Tech was definitely one of the best ones that we've had. It was just jam-packed with so many things going on all the time. And people have finally started to create this really big community around the conference. It's taken us a lot of years to get there, but it's definitely gotten to the point where lots of people know each other, and the entire group is very, very very welcoming. And so there were all these different things going on all at the same time. We had the hackathon, we had the UNCON, we had our usual evening events. We even had an arts and crafts fair that PHP Women were running. And there's something strange about seeing core developers building little puppets out of string.
Actually, the coolest part of that one was that the guy from Sybase, Eric, I forget his last name, he had the little remote control cars out, and a bunch of people stole those and tried to build roller skates for elephants. So that was very cool. And I think Spoons ended up doing it,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, you built roller skates for elephants out of a Sybase's remote control cars? That's just cool.
Well,
talk about a hackathon.
Yeah, well,
that's a hackathon.
Yeah, at least this year nobody was trying to attach parachutes to elephants and throwing them off the balconies.
Well, it is a tribute to the spirit of the PHP community and proof that swag, open bar, and enough time will get you just about anything.
That's very true. So, speaking of open bar, now. Not really related to the open
bar. We shall not speak of open bar.
Well, I was thinking of speaking about the technicalities of open bars, not necessarily the effects that open bars tend to have on some people who are frequently guests at our conferences, who shall remain slightly unnamed. But this is the first time that Arby is here with us. I wanted to bring a little bit of insight on what goes on behind the scenes. Now, you should know that Arby's official title at PHP Architect is executive in charge of cookies. And every year there's this big fight between me and him because I'm a cheap bastard and, you know, he actually wants people to feel welcome at our conferences. So every year we have this long discussion with big air quotes around it on how the food should be organized around the conference. And I thought since he's here, he should give us an idea of how that process actually works. And you know, there are really two main problems at play all the time. One is that dealing with hotels can be very challenging. We have a really good hotel for tech, but it can be extremely challenging to actually deal with them. On the other hand, it's also always fun to try and come up with new things to get people to experience at the conference. For example, last year Arby was able to carve budget out of somewhere, not sure where, and get pizza for everybody who was at the hackathon. So why don't you tell us how this whole process sort of works and all the fights that you and I have.
Well, before I go into the catering details, I'm also been known to keep Photoshop away from Marco or any kind of Adobe product to begin with. But dealing with the hotel, with the catering stuff, it's not bad. It's actually, we've come a long way. At this point, I have a spreadsheet that I use that tells me to get what to get, when to get it, and Marco comes in and helps me with all the budget. The budget comes in first, obviously, and one of the biggest challenges to get stuff that actually is new every year. And the hotel always sends us the same menu every time. And this gets really boring after a while. I think by this time, we've tasted every single item that they have on the menu. So this year, we're going to do something different. I'm going to actually fly down to the hotel ahead of the schedule and talk to the chef over there and see what they can come up with. In terms of appetizers and something that they've never done before. And since I think we have the entire week to ourselves, we've got all the rooms are booked for us for this conference alone. So we have first come, first serve in terms of what we want. We can get whatever we want from the hotel, and they're willing to give us the chef for maybe a day or two so we can finalize a nice menu. Anything else?
Sweet.
Should I share?
Go ahead.
We're not talking like elephant appetizers,
let's see,
right?
Where do I get the budget for things?
Hang on a second. What's an elephant appetizer?
An elephant.
Well, we're not going to be eating any elephants, are we?
Well, you can make a cake out of an elephant.
What? Oh, man.
No, but they were serving something at the bar last year that made me feel like I've been kicked by an elephant.
Yeah, those are good.
Well, all I remember of the open bar last year is at some point seeing Keith come by with this really strange smile on his face, and then he said something like, "Hey, I ordered a rum and coke, and I can't taste the coke."
Oh, well, there's an explanation for that, actually. I think before the bar opened, somebody went over there and handed them a $100 bill.
Okay, so moving on. So as you can see, there's quite a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but it's always a challenge to come up with food for so many people without, you know, breaking the bank, coming up with something unique and different. And the good thing about Tech is that we have such a good relationship with the hotel where we hold the conference every year that they really go the extra mile. It's a really nice hotel. It's a really nice place. They're paying me to say this. It's always a pleasure to be there.
And believe it or not, we're one of the better behaved groups, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, as strange as that may sound, we are apparently a very tame group of individuals.
Oh, you just caused everyone to raise their level. You are a goner.
I think by this time, this is the third Tech, I think,
The third one that we do at the same hotel.
Same
yes.
hotel. I think by now, I think I know all the names of the people who work in the background in the hotel.
Security. And, that's the ones we're going to need names on.
I'm serious. It actually helps. This is a tip to anybody who organizes a conference. You go to the 48 hours earlier, and besides talking to the head managers, go talk to the people behind the doors. These are the people who are actually going to help you, not the managers.
Actually, we found that to segue into CodeWorks. That's what we Arby. I was with Arby the entire time. For anyone who wasn't aware, the first three or four stops, and that's what we did. And getting to know those people on a first name basis, they made life so much easier, and they were on top of problems immediately. And it was just, when you can walk up to somebody and address them by name, it just goes that much further. It was amazing.
Yeah, coming back to the same hotel for like the second time is a big deal to them. A lot of the clients, that they come in first year, and the second year they don't show up.
Some of them are dead or in jail, but yes. In our particular case, it's good to be back there every year. Okay, well, enough about Tech for the moment. Let's move on from Tech. That was the end of May. The next one would be DPC, which Cal Evans was organizing. A certain Cal Evans, I've heard this name thrown around a few times here and there. Cal Evans, do you know Cal Evans?
Everybody knows me. Nobody admits to knowing me, but everybody knows me.
DPC, oh, come on,
was
we
great.
Love you.
Yeah, right. You've worked with me, dude. You know what they're going through now. You know what Keith's going through because Keith's in charge of the Subversion repository. I digress. DPC was awesome. It occurred to me probably last month, I was sitting down, you know, doing my retrospective, thinking about over the past year. I was the MC at ZenCon. I was the MC at DPC this past year. I'll be the MC at Tech this year. And I was Microsoft graciously allowed me to be a co-host at Web Dev Summit. So I've got a unique perspective in that I've been up on stage at all these big conferences. And it's just really interesting to me to see the different personalities of the conferences. You know, ZenCon is run totally different from DPC, and I'm learning all the new stuff about Tech and how it's run. But DPC was very interesting. We had fun. You know, Matthew, you came over, Eli came over, Ben came over. You know, we had a grand old time, and it was a great conference. My only problem with DPC and Evo, I told you this, and I told Yanni this, and this is still a problem. You know, when they say open bar, they mean beer and wine. When I say open bar, I want something a little bit stronger. That's the U.S. way of doing it. You know, but you know, honestly, if that's the worst thing you can say about a conference, you know, it's a pretty good conference.
The DPC was fantastic all around. And while I'm not a, you know, liquor drinker, so, you know, the open bar bit was not a problem for me at all. We also, it had very much a lot of the community spirit I saw at Tech as well, and just some fantastic things going on there.
iBuildings runs a very good conference. Can't say enough good about it. And Lorna Jane will be, Lorna Jane Mitchell will be the host this year. So that's going to be very exciting. I can't wait till they open their call for papers, because I'm going to submit, hopefully get to go back over there this year.
You know, I didn't make it to DPC this year.
No, that's not true. You bailed on DPC this year, dude. Okay, let's get this straight. You were invited.
I said I didn't make it to it. I didn't say it was your fault. Relax. My daughter was having surgery, so I had to bail at the last minute. But I did make it a couple of years ago. And besides the fact that it was a really good conference, it was an even better conference for me, because I was not actually organizing it. It was just show up, give your presentation, stick around, learn something new, and then go out on the town. But I have to say, I just fell in love with the Netherlands, in Amsterdam in particular, and not for all the wrong reasons. I just love these people. Everybody speaks English. Everybody's super friendly. Everybody is educated. Everybody is on a bike. It's just an amazing, amazing place. I just loved to be there, and it really bothered me that I didn't make it in 2009. But who knows? Maybe I'll make it in 2010 if somebody invites me. Everything is possible. Anyway, so after DPC, I think we should fast forward all the way to the fall. I'm sure there were other conferences in between. I just can't remember any of them. And let's see. In the fall, we had our CodeWorks series, which was the crazy, crazy idea of taking a bunch of speakers, and instead of asking people to come to the conference, take the conference to them. So we did a tour of seven cities, starting from San Francisco, going to LA, then we went to Dallas, then we went to Atlanta, then we went over to Miami, and from Miami we did Washington DC and then New York. I was only there for half of the tour. It was very grueling. The transportation part alone was seriously impossible to organize. There's nothing like being stuck on the highway in
under a bridge in New York.
No, this was in LA. I don't know if anybody of you, Cal maybe was with us. Were you with us, Cal?
My therapist says I don't have to talk to about CodeWorks if I don't want to. Yeah, it was you, me, Derek. There were like 30 of us packed into this 8-passenger van with our luggage and all the gear from the conference.
You're dead.
You didn't get lost in New York.
No, we didn't get lost in New York. No, but in LA, we did a 15-minute drive in about 3.5 hours. And we probably saw what was the most horrific car crash I have certainly ever seen. There was
my God.
Yes, sorry, I still haven't seen the pictures of that. But I think Derek has a video of it. I just don't think he has the guts to put it up anywhere. There was the cement truck that was overturned across the median. And I think people were just trying to figure out how the hell one actually gets into an accident like that. But anyway, the transportation part of CodeWorks was truly difficult to organize. But the actual being in so many different places, meeting so many different people, and I think our exit survey showed that something like 95% of the people who showed up at these conferences had never been to a PHP conference before. So we were reaching out to a whole new market, whole new group of people who had never been to a conference before and never had the opportunity to be at a conference. So they didn't know what they were missing. And it was just so great to just go from place to place and try out new things. I don't know if we're going to do it again this year, but it's certainly been a great experience. And that was only the first half, because I actually stopped in Dallas. And then the rest of the group went on to, I believe, to Atlanta and then on. So I don't know what the second half was like. Maybe somebody from the A team. I think that's what you guys called yourselves.
Do 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 do
do. Yeah, the A team.
Oh, great! Now we have to pay the rights to the song. Congratulations.
Oh, great!
We just called them the Whiners.
I don't know. We were Team Awesome. So
because we paved the way for the rest of you.
That's right. Team Awesome got all the information from us.
Yeah, that was the thing with Team A. I mean, I was only on Team A for the first half, and then I was on staff San Francisco, LA, and Dallas, and then got to be an attendee in DC, which was nice. But that was the hard thing about being on Team A, is that when problems cropped up and you had to meet the staff and figure out what was going on and get things set up, that was our job. So Team Awesome had the easy life. Team A, we actually had to do things like, you know, build vehicles and get all the guns and do all that stuff and, you know, all the good A-team stuff.
Hey, you know Team Awesome was the best team because Microsoft went with us and bought us drinks every night.
It's because they pitied you.
You know, I'll never forgive you for that, right, Cal?
Wait, I thought you said you didn't mind, you didn't drink.
Oh, I was drinking. I just didn't get a chance to drink on Microsoft's tab except for in Florida.
All right. Well, anyway, CodeWorks was, as far as I'm concerned at least, was one of the most challenging but also one of the most fun things we ever got to do. As I said, I don't know if we'll do it again. I don't know if we'll do it again the same way we did it in 2009, but it definitely was worth trying it out.
It was an experience, definitely.
It was definitely an experience. And like many experiences, it probably has traumatized some people. Some of us have been scarred for life. But it was also definitely worth the try. So right after CodeWorks, we come to ZendCon.
Or as I like to call it, the career ender. You know, I left Zend after ZenCon. Eli left Zend after ZenCon. Andrea, I don't know what you're doing, but you're running people off, sweetie.
Yeah, and I'm left to mop up the mess after you guys all leave, too. That's great.
So I think RB and I were actually the only people who were not at ZenCon. Because we never get invited and we're ugly, I guess. So why don't you people who were lucky enough to be there, tell us what it was like.
For me, it was grueling. I did two back-to-back tutorials and one other session, and I had to man a booth for Zend Framework most of the time. And
so you were a booth babe?
Customers. Yeah, I was a booth babe, but not in a good way. We also...
I still have a picture of you with the booth babe t-shirt on.
Yeah, it's a great shirt. I've tie-dyed it since then. I bet you haven't got a picture of that yet, but it's fun.
No, I don't.
But it was a good time for me. I got to meet with a lot of Framework users and contributors during it, but it was definitely a marathon run for me the entire time. I did get to sit in on a few sessions. I heckled Cal during his session. Also heckled the Dojo project lead, Pete Higgins, who's an absolute brilliant developer, and it was fun to go in and sit in and see his style. He's kind of like squirrel from Hoodwinked when he's drinking the coffee. Pete Higgins is a little like that when he talks, but just some great stuff. And of course, we had the famous Framework shootout and hitting each other with Nerf guns and getting heckled by the audience and heckling back as well, which was a lot of fun. So it was a good conference, I felt. But I'll let Cal and Keith take it from here. One thing I didn't get to do this year was participate in the OnCon, but I heard great things about it. So I wanted to pass that along, and maybe Keith can elaborate.
Yeah, you weren't informed about that, but you were actually banned this year. We got a memo on that. So,
oh, is that how it worked?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. No, the UnCon went amazingly well this year. We did it a little bit differently. Last year, we published the schedule, like I believe it was the first day, and put it up on a big board in the wall. This year, Eli White over, well, now leaving Zend, and Andrea were great, and they gave me a big board. And then each day, we announced the next day's schedule. So we were able to actually adjust the schedule and sort of tune things as the conference went on. So there are a couple sessions that sort of popped up in response to regular conference sessions. There was a discussion of continuous integration that sparked a response from Sebastian Bergman, and there was lots of fun stuff. Actually, I did do one minor scheduling screw up and scheduled somebody for a day when they weren't going to be there yet. And so I walked into the room. I'm like, hey, who wants to speak? And Eli says, you're speaking, go. So that was exciting. Cal, what'd you think?
ZenCon was the most fun I've ever had at ZenCon because I didn't have to do anything. I ended up doing two sessions. I did Lig's MySQL performance or tuning or something like that, and did a very poor job, but everybody was kind on the joined in ratings for me. And then I did my design pattern talks and had fun with that one. That was the one where Matthew heckled me. And it is never, if anybody's ever curious about doing presenting, it is never fun to present anything in a technical context when you've got heads of the major frameworks in the room with you. So, no, that's just not fun at all.
Oh, come now. We had lots of fun.
But ZenCon was just great this year. Looking forward to it again next year. And Andrea, no, you don't run people off. I promise.
Actually, one of the things that's kind of fun this year is one of the last days, I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday, there was the Web 2.0 conference was going on in San Francisco, and a couple of people came up. There was a Bing party, and a couple of people, Josh Holmes, John Cogishall, said, hey, why don't we go down there? And they were looking at renting a cab or renting a bus. And then sure enough, Josh talks to his manager or somebody and says, hey, if I bring 30-something PHP developers, is Microsoft willing to pick up the cost of the bus? And they said, yeah, sure, if you can get 30 of them, haha. He said, okay, I've got 35.
Yeah, so, Josh is now one of the legends of ZenCon. One day I'm going to publish that book, but he earned his way into the sacred halls with that particular stunt.
It was a good night. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Eli was sweating bullets because of the 35, like 30 to 50% of the speakers were on that bus. So, you know, if something happened, he had an empty hall the next day.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got on the bus, and I was sitting there counting people, and I was like, wow, we've got 30-some. And then I looked around, and I was like, wow, and there's 6 core developers. And all of a sudden, I screamed, and I go, oh, my God, this is how Microsoft is going to win the PHP world. Just kill all of us in one fell swoop. They win.
Josh, buddy, we're on to you.
Yeah, we gotcha.
Well, see, it's funny because when we're at the conference that we organize, people often come up to me and say and comment on how calm and poised I seem. And I usually say, well, you know, by now, the only thing that can happen is the speaker gets run over by a bus variety. Because by the time the conference goes on, it's kind of difficult to fix any major problem that comes up. You just try your best to cover it up. But I never thought that there could be such a literal meaning to the expression getting run over by a speaker getting run over by a bus.
The conference had a bus factor of 1, and we were on it.
All right, so that was that for conferences, I think, for 2009. At least conferences that we were at. No, that's not true, because in November, I went to Nashville, Tennessee. And I participated in the Big Lamp Camp. I cannot remember what that was called. Does anybody remember what it was called?
Yeah, no, it was Big Lamp Camp.
Big Lamp, yes. So in November, I actually went to Nashville and participated in the Big Lamp Camp, which was a riot. It was great. First of all, Nashville has beautiful, wonderful smoking laws. A state, a country, or a city that allows an indoor smoking lounge to exist is a prized possession that should never be let go of.
Dude, all the beautiful scenery here and the beautiful women like the lovely and talented Kathy, and all you can say is Nashville's got great smoking laws.
But, you know, when you're in town for a conference, there are usually two things that you see, the airport and the hotel. In my particular case, I got to see a smoking lounge and had a really good cigar, so I can't complain too much about that. But anyway, the lamp camp was organized by our good friend Marcus Whitney over in Nashville, and it was this really quaint ex-old factory that has been sort of refurbished and repurposed into a combination arts fair and Congress Center. It was a really strange place to be, but also very fun. It was a small group, maybe 50, 60 people. I don't recall how many people were actually there, but it was definitely a great experience. I did a very short keynote there, and then got to see a few cool people. Met a cool few good people that I wanted to meet for a while now. So that was, I think, the last event that I managed to attend in 2009. So that covers all the conferences, as far as I can remember, unless somebody has anything else that has popped up in their minds in the meantime.
You're leaving out the Web Dev Summit. Microsoft invited a select group of people to talk about some of the cool toys that they're doing. So there's some pretty cool toys coming up, and some of them are actually out there.
Yeah, I just don't remember what we can talk about and what we can't.
Well, one of the things that they did for us, and I know we can talk about, is Josh, once again, and Garrett's, I don't remember his last name, he's Fear the Cowboy on Twitter, but we were talking about how a lot of us just don't know about IIS and how to configure it and stuff. So they said, well, fine, here. And they gave us access to a bunch of VMs that they manage, they configure. And they said, here, test your stuff out on that. So the next Web to Project release, which is probably tonight, maybe tomorrow, version 1.2.1, we do support IIS 7. And it's because they hooked us up with a VM that we could do testing on.
And I bet if there's leads to major projects, open source projects out there and wanted to do this kind of testing, if they, we could probably put them in touch with somebody at Microsoft that would show them the same courtesy.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. They're looking to help us the way we, however they can. And
if you're interested, email Keith. He'll help you.
Don't forget to include your credit card number and address.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
So WDS was definitely a great experience. I enjoyed that very much as well. It was good to be back in Seattle. It was great to actually see some of the things that Microsoft's doing. Like you, I can no longer remember what I can and cannot talk about, so I just pretend I cannot talk about anything. But we definitely got to see some really cool stuff. I was really impressed with the new Bing Maps 3D functionality that I thought was really cool. Okay, well, I think that really does cover 2009 in terms of conferences. And now 2009 was a very busy year for PHP as well. Lots of things going on. I think probably the biggest thing of all was the release of 5.3. And since I've seen 5.3 being called as the framework edition of PHP, I thought that, hey, we have the Supreme Allied Commander here with us. Why don't you tell us what 5.3 means for frameworks?
Oh, wow. That's a fun one. There's a bunch of features that came with 5.3 that were requested over time by various framework developers and really target you know, kind of low-end things that people need to work on. One of those things is namespaces, of course, and we're not going to get into the namespace operator and how naming is happening, but basically what it does is it makes it possible for us to write cleaner, more concise code, because we're not having to, you know, have these long names out there. We can, instead of say something like, you know, Zendate controller request abstract, we can now just say request abstract, and it's in the Zen controller namespace. So it's going to make it easier to do some of those things. The other thing that I'm excited about are things like the closures or anonymous functions. It makes it really easy to do kind of off-the-cuff, one-off types of programming. And also makes it really easy to do plugins and that sort of thing, especially when you couple it with things like the invoke magic method that classes now have, where you can instantiate a class and then call it as if it were a function. It makes it really easy to do plugin systems and makes it easy to have a very standard way of doing that sort of thing. Those are the features I'll probably be using the most. There's, of course, a slew of other features, and you can go to php.net to find that stuff. But basically, these are things that make it more convenient, easier to program, and also easier to have consistent programming styles within your frameworks. And I think that's what a lot of us are really excited about. A lot of us have been doing, you know, hacks here and there to try and accommodate PHP, but they aren't really native to PHP. And now we can have these more native fluent architectures.
So now that 5.3 is available, how do you see Zen framework changing to accommodate it?
We're actually doing basically a rewrite of a number of components, but also of the framework itself. We're going to utilize namespaces throughout Zen framework. Our plugin system is going to be going almost entirely towards using invoke, and that's going to make things so much simpler. It's going to be you know, across the board, everything's going to be able to look the same. And if it, you know, has this invoke method, we can just basically use it, and we can be using class type hinting to, you know, if we need to actually limit what is considered a plugin for a particular component. Those are things that we're going to be doing a lot with right off the bat. Another thing that becomes possible, people are going to start mocking me now, but GoTo, I know a lot of people say GoTo is evil, but there are some really good use cases for it. One of them is a finite state machine. And when you look at controller systems, really these are things that are, you know, accepting events. And quite often your code needs to be able to trigger different events to happen. Like you may want to break out and send the response immediately, or you may want to say, hey, you know, there's more processing to be done here, and create a workflow system of some sort. GoTo actually makes that possible. And if you do it wisely, you can actually create some very lean, performant code that you just simply can't do currently with 5.2. And that's something that we're looking at for replacing how our front controller works. And I've actually got a prototype already written that has already shown some great promise and makes it easy for us to create alternate versions of how the front controller works to accommodate situations where perhaps you need to be more have more of an eye on performance than how your team maintains the code. You're looking more at how your code performs so that you can squeeze the most CPU cycles out of your machine. This will allow you to do it. So these are things that we're looking at right now. We've been doing the planning stages for several months now, and we released some planning phases out at that time. We've got a lot of stuff in the works. We're actually hoping to branch shortly after our 1.10 release later this month, so that we can get underway and hopefully get a release out this year.
So it seems to me that there's going to be quite a bit of incompatibility at some point when you start supporting 5.3 with previous versions of PHP. So do you think there's going to be an official release at which point you're only going to start supporting 5.3, or do you plan on supporting backwards compatibility with 5.2?
Yeah, actually, 2.0 is going to be 5.3 and above. That's a decision that we had to make, because if we go and accommodate and actually start utilizing these features, it becomes very difficult to have the same code base utilizing 5.3 features and 5.2 only features. So we are going to break backwards compatibility at that point. Our goal is to have some migration tools to help assist people who are going from the 1.x versions to 2.0. And in talking to some of the other frameworks, you know, a lot of them are looking at the same idea because, you know, the architectures, while they may be proven at this point, they're also seeing advantages to moving to new architectures. And in order to do that, you just simply have to bite the bullet and do something new, and then figure out how you can accommodate the migration for people.
So what's your target for releasing 2.0?
Wow, I'd really like to have it out by the end of the year. It's really going to depend on how quickly we can do things like the namespace conversion and how quickly we can rework components to do new plugin architectures. You know, fortunately, that's a finite number, but it's going to take a little bit of time, and we'll see how that happens. We've got a small team internally, and of course, we have a good army of developers, but we have to, you know, have the cohesive vision first, and that's the part that is going to be harder to manage.
All right.
So I'm being very noncommittal. I know it.
Hey, it's good. You're not letting us back into a corner. Wouldn't expect any less from you. Well, I think those were the big items of 2009, and we really are running out of time. So let's take a very quick look at 2010. And I think by far the most important thing that's going to happen in 2010 is, of course, PHP Tech. As we've been telling people over and over for the past few months, PHP Tech has changed its name to TechX for 2010, but it will still be in Chicago. And in case you haven't had a chance to yet, the schedule has been published now, so you can go to tech.phparch.com and take a look at the schedule for this year's conference. We had a record number of proposals sent in this year. I think we had some 10 proposals for each slot that we had. So going through the proposal process was probably one of the most difficult ones that we've had to go through over the last few years. And I see that it's probably left a number of people less than happy by the fact that they were not chosen. But what can I say? It was a difficult decision to make, but a decision had to be made at some point. So it was the best that we could do. And incidentally, you know, RB and Cal and Keith were all on the selection committee, so... why don't you guys say something, a little something, you know, what your impression of the process was, and what the most challenging things you had to do. Arby, why don't you go first?
Well, it was definitely one of the biggest ones. I don't know, I think I would say we had to spend over, I don't know, 15 hours, 14 hours total, all combined, just to go to all the talks, read every synopsis, and consider a lot of other factors.
I'm just glad that you know, Marco has put it out there that I'm not the one that made the selection, because I'm tired of people like Chris Cornett, you know, being haters because, you know, they think it's just me. Not naming. Oh, I guess I am naming names, Chris.
Genius. Just genius.
It was a difficult process. I mean, the selection alone, you know, we spent, what, probably 3-4 hours yelling at each other over Skype over which one's going to make it and which one's not. And we all had our favorites, and we all had those, you know, that we just didn't really like. And I mean, it was just an incredible process. But then putting the schedule together, I mean, I sat down Monday with a blank spreadsheet and started putting things in and invited some people to come in to take a look to see where things were being placed. I mean, those people that tweeted they got a sneak preview, they were really – I didn't invite them in because it was a clickish thing or anything like that. I invited them in because I wanted somebody to say, you know, if you group these together, it'll be better, because I'd been staring at these for so long. But it's not just a matter of putting the talks together. You've got some people that are morning people, I'm using my quotey fingers, and some people that are afternoon people that can't do talks in the morning, and, you know, we all know who. But so it's, you know, there's a lot that goes into it beyond just, you know, this speaker's only going to be here one day, so we need to put him on that day.
Right. Yeah, we started with, if I remember correctly, we started with 36 slots in our schedule. And we had something like 350 submissions. And so we pretty much realized early on that we, although we can't run a conference that's a month long, which is what it would take to go through all the proposals, we had to do whatever we could to try to get as much content as we could in there. And that's where the UnCon finally had to go. Keith, you're the UnCon guy, so tell us what's going on.
It wasn't quite like that. It's not like you took it out back and put it to death or something. It was a question of, we got some really great proposals. I mean, of the 42 or something that we accepted, I mean, there were another 6 or 8 that are on my wish list of, man, I really wish these got in. And it was when we were sitting there and we had 36, I looked at the UnCon and I said, look, the UnCon has been great and we've gotten some excellent people from it and some excellent ideas from it. But we've done that. We've mastered it. I think doing it at ZenCon a couple times, doing it at Tech last year, I think we've really sort of mastered that. So what if we gave this up, got 6 more people in, made 6 more people's days, and then were able to do something else? And so 2 things came out of that. First, the hack track. And so the idea is, we've got a room set up off to the side of the main conference, and it's open. It's open for discussion. And Supreme Allied Commander Matthew, I hope you join us for that, and you pick people's brains on the Zen framework, see what happens. We're also still doing the hackathon.
Oh, I totally plan to.
Excellent. I will be, in fact, Arna Blankertz and I have already had a little bit of a throwdown because I'm doing a presentation on Flex, and he says, oh, you should use Zool, which is Mozilla's thing. So we're going to be camped down there arguing it out. We'll probably invite Josh in to break us up or beat us up to talk about Silverlight. So I think that's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be sort of birds of a feather, a little bit more small group chatting sort of thing. So I think that's cool. But the thing that I'm actually proud of is that if you look at the list, which was made public today, there's like 6 or 8 people on the list that have never spoken at Tech before, and a couple of them have never even been to Tech. So I think the UnCon, and Matthew, you wrote about this a few months ago, the UnCon being used as sort of a farm team or sort of warm-up practice for a regular conference, I think the concept has been proven and it's been successful. So I'm very happy to see some new faces in the mix there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we tried to do this year was the conference is not just about a core PHP. It's not just PHP only. We're doing the same thing with the magazine. In the next few months, people are going to notice that we're going to talk about the tools that are used by all the programmers. Like, for example, we have the JavaScript for PHP programmers. A lot of database stuff. A lot of PHP programmers don't know how to create a proper database schema. So we're just kind of trying to branch out. I think it's going to help a lot of developers.
Yeah, actually, one of the best comments that I saw about that was someone on Twitter. I think it might have been Ben Ramsey, who said that he loved the schedule because they dropped the why sessions and we put in the how sessions, the how-to sessions. So the conference definitely has a very practical slant this year. It's much about creating things, doing things, learning how to do things well. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great conference. Of course, I'm slightly biased, perhaps, but what can I say? Anyway, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you with us. It's been great to have all of our guests tonight. Thank you very much, Matthew, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a fun time.
Great. We'll be with you again soon. In the meantime, keep coding and stay safe. Take care.